led to slaughter, without spot or wrinkle. Jesus, who knew no sin, died for our sin. And then he fulfilled that. He fulfilled going to the cross. He fulfilled everything that God the Father wanted up to that point. So he goes to the cross, hangs on the cross, taken off the cross, put into the tomb. 3 days later, he arises and he goes. The tomb is empty. And now the tomb is gone, is empty. The tomb is there, but he's gone. And you find in your scriptures as you read this that after he was resurrected and came out of the tomb, of course, what did he do? He went to Mary and those in the upper room and said, "Get the disciples, I want to go talk to them." And of course, they were like, "What?" You know, and there's those songs, and they went running. It talks in the Bible about John and Peter. They went running, you know, to see what's going on. But anyway, Jesus meets them to verify that it's me. And then we got him showing himself to the men on the road to Damascus. And then we got him with Paul and all these things, or not Paul, but we see as he's developing and going, and we read, and then you get into the first chapter of Acts where it talks about he was here 40 days before he ascended into heaven. He comes out of the tomb, he's walking about this earth, showing himself to his disciples first to let them know. And then in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, you'll read in 10th or 15th, somewhere around there, chapter, I think. But you'll read where it says that he was seen by upwards to 500 people or more that saw Jesus in the flesh. And so Jesus is out, resurrected, walking in bodily form, talking to the people, talking to the disciples. And then May 5th, which happened to also, I thought this was interesting, was National Day of Prayer. May 5th, that Thursday, was 40 days after the resurrection of Christ. So May 5th of this year, 40 days out, and go back to every calendar, wherever Easter falls, it's always 40 days after that is Ascension Thursday. And so that Thursday of May 5th was Ascension Thursday. That was the time that what? Jesus ascended, and those looked around saying he vanished into the clouds. So that was 40 days. And then you come into Acts on the day of Pentecost, and that's on Pentecost Sunday, happens to be 10 days from May 5th. It's always going to be that way in the calendar. It's always going to flow 40 days after Easter, the resurrection. 40 days he's walking this earth. 40th day he's ascended into heaven. 10 days after that, the meeting in the upper room to where, whoo, Pentecost Sunday, the coming of the Holy Spirit into all the people that were there. What a great and wonderful time. Don't you wish you would have been there? Well, I think I might have. Yeah, kind of. Might have been scared at first. I don't know, you know. But to think of that, and you find that as really the first harvest of Christians. That's why when you say Pentecost is that of first, the first harvest, the first of the harvest, the beginning of the harvest, the first fruits, that was basically what? As those Christians in the upper room being with the Holy Spirit being sent down to them, they was the birth of the church. Hallelujah. We got our start there. The people that was the first fruits of Christianity, really, of being part of the kingdom of God now. What is so wonderful is, it just didn't stop there, did it? It's ongoing. The Spirit of God is ongoing, moving. Daily after that, the church was growing. Throughout that time, had some wonderful things there that developed. But before we get there, let's look at John 14. John 14, this is back and Jesus is now talking. And 14:16, and he is saying this about the promise of another helper. Do we not know, do you not believe, that up to that point, Jesus was a wonderful helper to those around him? Marvelous things he did. Taking care of the disciples, feeding the 500 or the 5,000 plus, raising ones from the dead, healing those that were sick, giving blind to the sightless, giving hearing to those that couldn't hear. But that was just all side benefits of what Jesus was about. Because really, Jesus came to hang on the cross, to die, to cleanse our sins, to take care of the sin of this world, to take care of the sin of the world back then, to take care of the sin of the world of what? Today. So isn't it wonderful that what happened long time before I was around, I got a benefit of today, and 20 or 30 years ago or whenever it was that I received Christ as my Lord and Savior to the point of my sins were forgiven and cleansed from me, and I began to become adopted into the family, engrafted into that family. So, I think it's pretty cool. And we're here today, thank God for the Holy Spirit. But let's look at this first before we get into Acts, where it says, and I, Jesus says, will pray the Father, and he will give you what? Another helper. It tells me at that time that Jesus was helping his people. But the Father is going to give you another helper. Wow. And it says, and he will abide with you when? Forever. Jesus' time, he knew, was short-lived here on earth. He wasn't going to be here forever and ever and ever. He was going to come and do what he was called to do, to give glory unto the Father, to fulfill the will of the Father. And he was telling the people, his disciples then, this other helper that the Father is going to send, is going to be with you forever. Aren't you glad? Aren't you happy that the Holy Spirit is here with you today? If you receive him, walk with him, let him in, he's with you forever. And it says here that in verse 17, John 14, verse 17, this happens to be what? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be where? In you. Do you have the Holy Spirit in you? I hope so. He wants to be in you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you into the all what? Truth. Because we know the world is made up of lies. We know that the God of this world is the father of all lies. So we got the devil, Satan, demonic on this side, that's the God of this world, that just all he is about is lies, distortions of truth, taking and twisting the good things of God into little lies, little white lies, we call them, that makes us feel better. But he distorts the truth and the things of God. But the Holy Spirit has come, the Father is sending him, and he will be with you forever, and he is going to lead you into a few truths. All truth. That was Jesus before he went to the cross. He's telling the people then, his disciples, this is what's going to happen. And then he goes on to say, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live and I will live also. At that day, in verse 20, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. And it goes on and he's telling his disciples, giving them a heads up. So now he shares that. He goes to the cross and he dies. And we now have him ascended into heaven. And now we're 10 days after that Ascension Thursday. We're all gathered in the room. Sunday could be this very day. Could you imagine if the Holy Spirit would just blow in here like the sound of a mighty wind? As if fire, cloves of fire over your heads. Could you imagine that taking place with you today? I hope you do, because it can happen. I believe that as I look out and we see who's here, and I don't see visitors at this point, but I believe everyone here is walking with the Holy Spirit, from my understanding of where you're at in your faith. I hope I'm right. I hope you're being led by the Holy Spirit. So I'm talking to the choir. You all could sing probably and hit the right notes right now. I'm talking to the choir. But you know the effects and the benefits of the Holy Spirit. But it's really until we begin to look at some of these things and find out how effective and why, and it's a purpose and it's a plan, it's exactly what God has in order. I was sharing in Sunday school, and I said, I'm glad I'm part of a belief or a denomination, non-denomination, a group of people that believes in all of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that I do. Thank my God for creation. I'm glad that I can thank Jesus coming, God in flesh, to come into this world. to live a sinless life, to die for me. And yes, it's sad, but it's like, and he died, but he said, I have to go. I've got to do this so that the other one can come. It was all the plan and the prearrangements of what God has had and was in heaven in store to saying, this is how this is going to work. And so now we come to this point in time to where I can honor and believe in and worship and sing and all of, with thanksgiving for the Holy Spirit. But I don't discount the other to give credit to just one. I love them all. I honor them all. I thank God for all three. God, the triune God, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God finally comes after the death of Christ and Jesus goes to heaven. And then Revelation says he's coming back. So just think of this, guys. As people were there bodily seeing him ascend, didn't they say that? They saw him raised into the clouds. And as they're watching him go, a voice says, why do you look up? He will come as he left. That tells me there is a time and a place that's already arranged by that of my Heavenly Father that he's going to send Jesus back into this time. Where I am at in that span of time, I don't know. Do you know? No. Could be today, could be tomorrow. We just don't know. But I know he's given us signs of things to be looking for, and signs of the times tells us that it's drawing near and we can get into all that. And who wants to get into all that? All I can just say is just what exactly the Bible says is going to happen is happening. So deal with it. Pray about it. But don't let it weigh you down and worry you to the point of oh no. You know, these things do have to come. We talked about a few weeks back of the great apostasy, of the falling away of the church. The church has to fall away. A majority of the church has to fall away from sound doctrinal teachings that they were founded upon, for the great apostasy of those believers of Christ or the believers of what God has said, that has to happen for the return of Jesus. Sad, but it's got to happen. Sad, but you can guard yourself to not be counted as one of those falling away. Amen. Because of being walking and working and reading and staying close to God's Word, and especially now because of the help that we have of who? The Holy Spirit leading us into all truth, keeping us on track and on task with the things of God, that we don't get muddled away and believe lies and believe distortions of the devil of this world wanting to create that. But there will be, sad to say, some major numbers of people from our churches, and it's already happening. Do you not believe that? That we have a falling away already of some churches going into the side of things that are actually totally against what God stands for? They are happening right before your eyes. Does that mean we give up? No. Just because we see things happening in the world, does that mean that we give up? No. If you're here, you're here for a purpose and a plan to fulfill the things that God has for you to do. And one of the things is for us to do is to pray for your times. Pray for your nation. Pray for your government. Pray for your family. Pray for the situations. That's what the National Day of Prayer was all about, of praying of some key areas of our national organizations of things in our nation of seven areas. And you remember what some of those are. Very key areas of a country or of a society, really, right? Think of government, education, churches, homes, businesses, the media, military, things of your country that really keep a country foundationally strong and growing and protecting itself. And we've got to pray for those things. So although I see these things happening and I don't like it, doesn't mean I turn my back on it and say, well, it's going to happen anyway, just let it go. No. It's not like that Disney song. Let it go. Is that? Let it go. I got grandkids that just love that song. Little girls, even little grandsons are singing it now, you know. It's like, let it go, let it go. And I tell you what, some of these kids belt it out of the top of their lungs, man. They get, you get all of my grandkids together and these girls, they just all start to sing. Let it go, let it go. It's like, but it's not for us to let these things go of what's taking place. No, we keep it in prayer. We keep it before God. And we can do that by way of the Holy Spirit. We get our strength by what? The Holy Spirit. We get our sound teaching. I hope by pastors sharing the trueness of God's Word, but we sift it or we go through it with that of the Word of God to say, I better make sure whatever Pastor Tim is saying is what the Bible says. And if it's not, I need to let him know. And if he continues on that path and it's going contrary to God's Word, I'm getting out of there. Because we don't want to be on the other side of God's Word. So we find that Jesus says that he's got to go. The truth is coming. So let's go into Acts 1. Remember I talked about it. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of that of Jesus began both to do and teach. This is basically the second book of Luke. They figure that Luke probably wrote Acts. There's no definitive authorship other than there's a lot of things because of the verbiage, how it's the reading of it and how it goes. I think it's, I don't know, 99.9 or whatever, but there's some things like, well, did Luke really write that or not? But they believe that Acts is really like a second book of Luke. Book of Luke, and then Luke writes into Acts. Whatever it is, the author doesn't matter to me because I know it's all inspired by God. But it says this, that until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. Being seen by them during the 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Could you imagine Jesus accomplished all that stuff on the cross, gets out of the tomb, and there's just still some finite things that he's got to finish before he's called back to heaven and he's going to go. There's some things he's got to clarify, some things he's got to lay in order. But then he says, as they're all assembled together with them, he commands them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to do what? Wait. To wait for what? For the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, the Holy Spirit, yes. For truly John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with who? The Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Remember, not many days from now, if you look at the calendar time and all that, evidently it's like 10 days. So not many days from now, you're going to be baptized with that of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And then he goes into this. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own who? His own authority. But you shall receive what? Power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem and basically to all the ends of the earth. Wherever you go, you're going to be witnesses for me to those that you come into contact with. That is what it's about here in Rock County, Wisconsin, USA, as being a witness to those around you. Amen? To witness to your coworkers, to witness even to your family and to all those that neighbors or friends or enemies or whatever, is to be a witness to them of what God is about. The Holy Spirit in you. So then we get into that. He ascends. Remember I said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? That same Jesus, or this same Jesus who was taken up from you in verse 11, will come like manner as you've seen him go. Well, let's go on. So now they're into this upper room. And they had to choose another disciple because of what happened with Judas, and that's all taken care of. But then we get into two, when it says this, when the day of what? Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as what? As of a rushing wind. Could you imagine the sound? I shared in Sunday school a little bit that, you know, even if we were in here and the wind was howling out there and we could hear it blowing and maybe the building was creaking or just you could hear it just blowing around the corner of the building or in the trees, you could hear that power and the mightiness of the wind, that whoosh. Have you ever heard that when, you know, in your house and they say, we're going to have possible gales of up to 40 or 50 mile an hour winds this afternoon, batten down everything. And you're in your house or in your office or whatever, and you hear that wind. You're going, wow, I've been at night sometimes when that wind's come through there, and it's like, wow, the force of that wind. The wind has a lot of force, doesn't it? But to think of this, now they're in this upper room, and it says the sound like that of mighty rushing wind. So they're all there in what? First thing is very important, one accord. And so we're all there together, Now we're waiting. Not too many days from now, Jesus said. Go and wait. Don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then they come into this, and then they were appearing to them divided tongues as of what? Fire. And one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak what? With other tongues. As the Spirit did what? Gave them utterance. It's very important. I know in the teachings and things where they say, well, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the evidence, one of them, should be that of speaking in tongues. And it's hard for people to sometimes flow in that because they feel like it's gibberish, isn't it? And it's hard for them to say, just let your tongue go, man. Just let it go. Just disconnect your mind and just let your spirit connect and just let it go. That's probably what we need to sing like that Disney song. Let it go, man. Just let it go to where you begin to pray in that heavenly language. I am so thankful that I can flow or move, or I do have a heavenly language. How about you? I'm so happy that when I come into a situation that I do not know how to pray, like Jesus said, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in an unknown tongue. Pray in that, because it says in His Word that when you pray in that Spirit, that heavenly language, you're praying the divine expressed will of who? God the Father. Your Spirit hooking up to His Spirit, and you're praying back to Him, just His expressed word of what you need. You know, or just praying back to Him, because we want His will to be done, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Let Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so the evidence of that, of speaking in tongues, is very powerful and is very helpful. And then we just encourage you, if you need help with it, let's just pray and just say, Lord, you know, loose this person's tongue. Let them, and you know, in my mind, when I began to understand this, or maybe was filled with that, and they said, now speak in the unknown tongue, it was hard, probably at first for me. How about you? Now others, it's not. Others, it hits them, and it's like, boom, just like it was like an everyday thing. You know? You're going, wow, where did that come from? You know? So you can, in your mind, you can release your tongue to just, right? But there's something about being by that of the Spirit to where you know not how to pray or what the answer is or what you need to ask God for, that I feel very comfortable to say, okay, and just begin to worship Him maybe and just say how wonderful You are and thank You, Lord, for the Spirit. Thank You for the Holy Spirit, Lord. Let the Spirit just guide me and lead me. Father, I'm just, so-and-so's on my heart, and all of a sudden it just might open up and you just begin to go into tongues. You might even have to tell yourself, I know not how to pray. I don't know what to ask for. I know I would like this to happen. I know I would like this to have an outcome. But as a follower of Christ, as what my God has said and what Jesus said, that Thy will be done, it is so important that we ask God for His will to do what? Be done in our lives, because that's the express desire of what? God. And who doesn't want to do exactly what God the Father wants? And it's when we flow into that vein to where we can sit there and say, I want the express divine will of my Heavenly Father, that things begin to become what? Answered. Comes the evidence of things happening. Now, oh, okay, Tim, so it answers it exactly the way you wanted it? Maybe not, and maybe yes. And if it's not, here again, I've got to kick into the other side of my understandings of things, and I've got to, as we had a study one time say, faith is a choice. Now I've got a choice whether to trust and believe what my God has told me in all of His other words about never leaving me nor forsaking me, and that He knows the beginning to the end and everything in between, the Alpha and Omega. I think I've got to believe in Him that He has a better understanding of what I need than I need myself. Don't you? I hope so, because God does. And that's why we can kick into this Spirit and the Holy Spirit moving and flowing in our churches and our services. It is so vital for churches today to have the Holy Spirit move uncontrolled within its walls. Now, you might say, well, what happens if it gets wacky? And I've been seeing wackiness at times in past years in different churches, and maybe even here years back, I don't know. But I know. Do you know? Say, I know. God will not allow something to go past or go contrary to him. So I might see something going on, and I might not really understand it or think maybe it's getting out of hand, but it's not for me to judge it to the point of saying, stop that, that's not right, you're mocking God. I can sit over here and see something like that, and I can just say, Lord God, I love you, and you're a God of order. And Father, what's taking place here by that of the Spirit, I pray, Lord, that everything is in your Spirit and not of another spirit. That, Father, whatever you might have to, you know, whatever's going on, if that is not of you, Father, shut it down. By the Spirit, Lord, close it off. Stop it in the name of Jesus. Because we've got that power and authority if you know who you walk in. Now, I pray that and say, Lord, if this is not of you, cease it. Because I don't want to mock you. I love you too much, God. I don't want people just toying with you and making fun. But then I go, but God, if that is of you, and it's something that I don't quite understand at this point in my time and my level of maturity, then let it go. And let me learn something from it. See, we've got to be willing to give him that opportunity, and we've got to disconnect what I want, and I got to get to the point of what he wants, even if I don't understand it, to at least be willing to say, I don't understand it, Lord, but if it is of you, help me understand it. And then just shut up and pray. Shut up and just be in spirit. Just sit over, stand wherever you're at, and just whatever, say, okay, Lord, it's continuing on, so it must be of you. I just don't understand this. What's going on? We've got to get to that level of allowing him to flow and move in our lives to the point of we trust him. And we have to trust him on what's going on around us if it is of him, of the Spirit. Because I'm going to tell you what, guys, if you were back in that day and the sound of like a mighty rushing wind came in, and if a sign of fire like on top of people's heads like that of fire, you would probably be going, is this you or not God? Because it was kind of unusual, don't you think? And then they get out there and they're babbling and like they're drunk. Well, that's another sign, like, well, these people, they're crazy. So we find that the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming, and it is for all of us, and it is for today, Pentecost Sunday, and it happens to be, isn't that great, the first fruits of Christ ascending into heaven, 10 days later, boom, sends the Holy Spirit down to fill his people, and then they go out with power. Doing of us power to share the message of Christ, to share and become, and to share and the word to everybody there. That is the birth of the church. That is when all of a sudden they go out from that upper room and they go spreading the gospel in the highways and the byways, wherever God sends them, right? You begin to see the church developing, going out in areas of all the communities and the cities and the towns that he sent them. We find that as much as even the Roman Empire or even of high learned religious orders, Sadducees and the Pharisees and all these people back then, they might have wanted to quiet it down and calm it down. They couldn't do it. I'm going to tell you, anytime man tries to stop the things of God, man will fail because the power of God is much more stronger, much more powerful, much more enduring, and it will go on. Man tries to shut down things of God in America, don't get despaired and quit praying. Just pray for the Holy Spirit to move in a mighty way. And it will happen. The more our government or any organization or any community or any whatever, any company wants to shut down the things of God, it will not stand against the power of God. If we, as his chosen people, know that's taking place and knowing the authority and the power that we walk in, not ours, but his in us, that we can go to bat for that and we can pray in the Holy Spirit and we can believe that things begin to change. So we win. We look around and we think there's a lot of battles going on even now. And we think, oh, man, we're just wonk, man. We're just giving up. Oh, boy. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep interceding. But to get the power to really fulfill and to be effective, you've got to get out of your natural realm and you've got to pray in the Holy Spirit. By that of the Spirit. The power. The dunamis power. And when you know not how to pray, you pray in the Spirit, you're going to pray exactly what God wants in America. You're going to pray exactly what God wants in Africa, exactly what God wants in ABC, XYZ company, the exact power, what God would want in a community or whatever the case might be, if we just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues. That is why it is so powerful and forceful, my goodness, that we can do this, because that's where the power lies. Don't you not understand and believe that the enemy knows where the power lies? If anyone was doing a natural battle against a natural enemy, would they not look at where their power source is and try to disconnect it or destroy it or get them away from it in the natural to win a battle? Militarily, the power supply to keep the tanks and World War II and all that and Rommel and Russia and Germany and all that, it was the supply of gas keeping their tanks going in the desert. So what did they have to do? The NATO and the Americans and all, you destroy the foundries, you destroy the barrels of gas and their pipeline of getting fuel to their tanks. You can only go so far, and once it stops, it stops. That tank, and they would do that to us as well. The enemy would look at, how is those military guys keep moving? Well, they got gas that keeps pushing them further across the land. Well, how are we going to stop them? Cut off their power source of gas and fuel, and they will stop right where they're at. They could have all the armament, they could have all the ammunition, they could have everything they need, but once you stop right here, you really become ineffective. Because if you're wanting to take over or take back land, you got to keep going, don't you? You got to keep. You got to push. If the enemy is in your territory, to push them out, you got to keep going. So the enemy is going to say, cut off their fuel supply. And when their fuel runs out, they'll stop where they're at, and we can take over from there. The enemy of today against our Christian heritage and the Christian heritage of Pentecost Sunday and that of the Holy Spirit is, the enemy says, if I can even get learned men, educational men, religious churches and organizations that on one hand speak of the things of God, but if they can speak against the things of the power of the Holy Spirit, because many doctrinal things out there say that was power and effectiveness back in that day. And when the disciples died, it's gone. Oh, we teach on it on history, and that was a wonderful thing and all this. And then they might even pray somehow at a death of a person or whatever, you know, by that of Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they don't put the power into that of the Holy Spirit, because they say it stopped back then. The enemy has spoken to them to where he's caused that to stop that, because the God of our God says that's the power source that we have as Christians to fulfill what he wants is the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And if the enemy can distort the power of the Holy Spirit, if the enemy can take it away, cause it to be poo-hoo, cause some people of learned people of educational, doctrinal things, call it like it's not for today, the enemy has succeeded, and that's why we got a lot of churches out there that are just dying at the vine. They've grown to a great entertainment spectacle, but there's no power. They can have light shows and music and bring in all these artists and have a wonderful time, and people feel like they've been to church, but they go out into the world, but then you ask them on Wednesday, and they might say, I'm feeling like I'm defeated. I hope and I pray that anybody that leaves here on a Sunday, if I was to talk to you on Thursday, that you wouldn't say, Pastor, I feel defeated. Because if that's what I hear, I have failed to a point of understanding to let you know that there is no defeatedness in that of a Christian walk. As long as you move with the Holy Spirit in you and the power of God in you, there is no defeat. Pentecost Sunday, the pouring of the Spirit into his people, the growth of that and the development, that is so vitally important. My. Let's see. Is next Sunday the last Sunday? No. Okay, we got to carry this into next Sunday. Okay. That is